Welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Annika Sparin with you guys on a very calm, balanced afternoon.
Super calm, super balanced.
That's what we're all about today. Okay.
In fact, the motto here at TYT, calm and balanced.
we were wondering, home of progressives or just calm and balanced?
How boring would a calm and balanced show be? Well, I mean, we are actually pretty balanced. We're fair.
Yeah.
We're not calm.
No, we are not calm. No,
but some people love the like fake calm, right?
Yeah.
Like especially the left. Like let's keep it real. The left loves hushed tones. Like hushed tones mean that the person is reasonable and logical, even if what they're saying is insane.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't be fooled by that. Passion is okay.
Yes. So Amy Goodman, good calm, NPR. Fake calm, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a ticket.
All right. So, anyways, here's some balance for you guys. We're gonna hit Democrats first and Republicans second, because you know why? Because they deserved it. They're in the news and they're doing the wrong things. Our job is to point it out. All right. And at the end, by the way, we will trigger right wingers and these and fake left, fall left wingers. By talking about Russia.
It's faux.
Faux. I do it wrong every time. What did I say? What did I say again?
Just faux. Just think faux. Of friends and foes. Faux.
What do I say?
Faux.
Faux.
Yeah, it's faux.
What a weird mental and verbal glitch. Okay, anyways. Russia later. No, okay, seriously, let's get started with the important stuff.
All right, let's do it.
You want to get a picture of us? Get a picture of us, huh? We're talking. All right, we're talking.
You're going to have a resolution by the end of the week, it sounds like? We're talking.
We're going to make some progress.
Senator Sanders, you prepared to make some deep cuts to climate change and other things like that?
Senators Bernie Sanders and Joe Manchin got together for a meeting to negotiate the budget reconciliation bill, the same budget reconciliation bill that conservative Democrat Joe Manchin has been a massive obstacle in getting passed. Now, Manchin clearly in that video was pretty desperate for a photo op with Bernie Sanders. And at first I was a little confused about why, but then I took a look at what the constituents over in West Virginia like, and Bernie Sanders happens to be one of the people that the constituents there love. In fact, if you look at the Democratic primary in 2016, Bernie Sanders did quite well with the Democratic electorate. 51.4% of Democrats favored Sanders over Hillary Clinton in 2016. Now in the 2020 election, by the time West Virginia held its primary, Biden was the only candidate. So. There you have it. But let's get back to the budget reconciliation bill and what's taking place. As we shared with you earlier this week, over the weekend, Senator Bernie Sanders wrote an op-ed pressuring Manchin to support the budget reconciliation bill, and he published it in West Virginia's largest newspaper. He wrote the following: poll after poll shows overwhelming support for this legislation, yet the political problem we face is that in a 50-50 Senate, we need every Democratic senator to vote yes. We now have only 48. Two Democratic senators remain in opposition, including Senator Joe Manchin. Now that triggered Joe Manchin, who then released his own statement in response on Twitter, arguing this isn't the first time an out-of-stater has tried to tell West Virginians what is best for them, despite having no relationship to our state. Senator Sanders's answer is to throw more money on an already overheated economy, while 52 other senators have grave concerns about this approach. The bill would be paid for by increasing taxes, as we all know. To be clear, again, Congress should proceed with caution on any additional spending, and I will not vote for a reckless expansion of government programs. No op-ed from a self-declared independent socialist is going to change that. And real quick, Cenk, before I go to you, I just want to note that Bernie, as he usually is correct. Let's take a look at how West Virginians feel about the budget reconciliation bill. When the nonpartisan, nonprofit Work Money surveyed more than 50,000 of its 2 million members nationwide, it found that 81% of respondents said they supported this plan. That includes 90% of liberals who took the survey, 81% of moderates, and 66% of conservatives. Now let's take a look at West Virginia. This should be relevant to Senator Manchin. 80% of respondents in West Virginia believe Manchin should vote to pass the bill. That includes 77% of conservatives who responded to the survey.
Yeah. So a lot of this is about optics, and then I'll tell you what the reality is. So on the optics front, Bernie Sanders put the op-ed in the West Virginia newspaper to obviously rattle Manchin's cage, and it did rattle it to some extent. Why, you might wonder? What's the big deal about a local newspaper that no one reads? Well, in the old days, everybody used to read the local papers, and local media is worth way more than national media, especially in the old days. And remember, all of our politicians are in their 70s or older, so they still believe in the old adage from Tip O'Neill, all politics is local. So when an old school politician like Joe Manchin sees an op-ed from a different senator, especially from his own party, in his local paper, he thinks that's a shot across the bow in a massive way, right? So they're like, whoa, wait a minute, now we're getting into real open warfare here. Now the reality is, that's not really how media works anymore. More people watch cable news, more people go on Facebook than they read any local newspaper by a order of magnitude, right? But the old senators have not caught on to that at all. So now the second portion of this is also optics. So they have the meeting, apparently they didn't make very much progress at all. And afterwards, Manchin demands a photo op, as you saw there in the video. Now, why is he doing that? He just said he's an out-of-stater, independent socialist, and et cetera. And if we're in open warfare, no, as Anna pointed out, since Bernie did so well in the primary in 2016, Manchin knows that that is a big chunk of his own voters, the Democratic voters, and he's got to appease them. So being a classic politician, he goes in both directions, brags about 52 senators, 50 of whom are Republicans that are on his side, or 48 of them are Republicans at least, or I'm sorry, I keep saying that wrong, 50 are on his side that are Republicans. And then at the same time, he wants to cover his bases with Bernie, so he's got basically his arms around Mitch McConnell and Bernie Sanders. But all of that is optics. There's only one thing he cares about. And a lot of the articles talk about how the White House and Jennifer Granholm and at the Energy Department are making a big pitch about how much this bill would actually help the people of West Virginia. But guys, the jury's already in. 80% of the people of West Virginia want the bill. They think it's gonna help them. You can't get that much better than 80%. That's not gonna move Manchin one inch. Bernie's not gonna move him. None of these things are gonna move him. The only thing he cares about is money, 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 period. And in this case, we're really kind of screwed because he's taking out the biggest portion of the fighting back against climate change from the bill. He's saying, that's my red line. I don't want you to fight climate change at all. I don't want you to go towards renewable energies. And it's gonna be super hard to move him, not only because of his donors are in that industry, obviously, as we've shown you in the past, but his own company that he founded, his son runs, that he gets money from, $500,000 every year, is in coal. So moving away from coal is devastating. I mean, he's already incredibly wealthy, but he would perceive it as devastating to his personal income and his personal wealth. So how are you gonna move a senator that deeply corrupt? Well, that jury's still out.
I think that there's still a possibility to move him, as we've talked about before, because if you look at the entirety of Joe Manchin's political career, even as he's huffing and puffing, even as he's going out of his way to differentiate himself from the Democratic Party, when he's pressured enough and persistently, he does eventually cave, right? The real wild card here, the person that I'm most concerned about in the Senate is Sinema. Because you have the theory that she doesn't know what she's doing at all. My theory is she seems to get some sort of pleasure or a rise out of upsetting her own constituents. She seems to like the negative attention, considering the fact that she's going against the will of her own constituents and supporters. But with that said, I mean, going back to what you said earlier, Cenk, about the op-ed that was written by Bernie and how this is against the rules, like the decorum and what senators are used to. I mean, all I could really think about is the good old days of politics, where you have someone like LBJ, okay, as the head of the Senate, right, Senate Majority Leader. Oh, I mean, he stopped at nothing. He knew when to use carrots, there's no question about that, but he was pretty vicious. And he also knew how to wield power. He knew how to coerce and intimidate. And I question whether any of that takes place in Congress anymore.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I just asked on social media earlier in the day, if Manchin and or Sinema prevent us from passing any of these bills, are there gonna be any consequences?
There absolutely should be.
Yeah, I mean, if you kill the president's agenda, there should be nuclear consequences politically. Does Joe Biden even have a single stick in his arsenal, let alone nukes? I mean, I'd be surprised if they got a slap on the hand.
Joe Biden is giving them a lot of what they want. So for instance, Biden, who at first was standing firm on the $3.5 trillion price tag, which again would be paid for through common sense tax increases on the rich. Now he's saying, okay, maybe we go down to $2 trillion, right? Remember, Manchin said his red line was $1.5 trillion. I wouldn't be surprised if Biden eventually falls in that number, close to that number.
No, they're gonna go around two, for sure.
Okay, whatever. But what has Biden also just said? He's considering doing away with a massive renewable energy provision in the bill.
So that's my point, guys. So you can get to whatever number that Manchin and Biden are comfortable with. None of us will be comfortable with it, and it'll probably be around two. But the question is, what's in the two? And so Manchin is specifically saying that I don't want you to fight climate change. The provisions that are about climate change, I want you to take them out. Period. I'm in coal. I don't care about your stupid planet. I still got money to make. My kids got money to make. And so we're gonna. It's our red line. Now that's a giant problem. And honestly, on that one, I don't know how they're gonna move him off of it. He has to move off of it. Otherwise, they're not gonna get any. But guys, there's more. But there's also good news in a sense, because other senators, not just Bernie, like all of a sudden the other 47 Democratic senators showed up. All we had was Manchin, Sinema, and Bernie, right? On the two different sides. The other 47 usually don't do anything anyway, right? But now all of a sudden Tina Smith, Sheldon Whitehouse, Merkley are all rising up, Ed Markey rising up and going, no, if you take out the things that fight against climate change, our voters are demanding it, absolutely positively demanding, especially Ed Markey, who won based on that platform in Massachusetts. And then we're gonna vote no, which is, I've never seen a corporate Democrat, you know, some of them are a little bit more progressive, but corporate Democrats say, no, I'm voting no if you don't give us what our constituents want. Normally they don't care at all what their constituents want, but Ed Markey saw in his election, he would not have gotten elected if it was not for the progressive vote, period. There's no question about that. Now we've affected their power. So this is much more complicated than the old days where Manchin would have steamrolled everybody and Biden would have been his willing partner in that. Now it's just a little bit more give and take here. Last thing for me that's super important. In West Virginia, all this hubbub is not about the jobs. Everything you hear from corporate Democrats and corporate media, almost everything is a lie. Only 3% of the jobs in West Virginia are coal jobs, 3%. No, this is about Manchin's profits and donors, period.
All right, let me also just get to one other note in this story. So CNN caught up with Bernie Sanders and wanted to ask him about the op-ed that he wrote urging Manchin to support the budget reconciliation bill. Now, of course, that was meant to apply pressure on Manchin. It was published in the largest newspaper in West Virginia. And here's where CNN's mind is at. Tells you everything you need to know about them. A CNN reporter asked Sanders on Monday night if he apologized to Manchin for his op-ed during their closed door meeting. Sanders, who had been walking with a group of reporters, briefly came to a halt before asking the right question. Did you apologize for the article you wrote? Why would you ask me that? Now, what was that? What was the framing of that question? Yeah. That was so, why would he apologize for writing an op-ed that's correct, that actually it illustrates the desires, the demands of Manchin's own constituents, the very desires and demands that Manchin himself as a senator from that state is completely ignoring based on his own personal financial incentives. Why would Bernie of all people need to do any apologizing whatsoever? How pathetic is that question?
So guys, it's not about one simple question and about one random reporter. It is the mindset of the media in Washington. Progressives must always apologize. You're never allowed to criticize another Democrat as long as they're a right-wing Democrat. Progressives, you can attack anytime you want. I've never seen a conservative Democrat, a moderate Democrat, or a Democratic leadership ever be asked to apologize to a progressive. Literally never in my life. Never in my life have I seen that. But the minute a progressive says, I don't agree with a conservative Democrat, they're like, have you apologized yet? Like, honestly, how does it even occur to him to ask that question? Unless the mindset is, and his editors think, and everybody in the building thinks, how dare a progressive disagree with a corporate Democrat? He must bow his head and giving offense to another senator. He's among the elites. How can you give offense to the elites? I mean, the provision he would take out would probably wind up in the deaths of tons of people in extreme weather events, let alone endangering the entire planet. But no one at CNN or in the club or among the elites gives a damn about that. But they're like, whoa, did you offend another senator by even stating your opinion, your dirty progressive opinion? Well, CNN and the rest of the national media disapprove, and they would like your apology right away.
Did you apologize to Joe Manchin for wanting to represent the best interests of West Virginians better than he does? Did you apologize to Senator Manchin for that? It's pathetic. Anyway, we gotta take a break. Let's do that, and when we come back, more progressives are fighting back, and they're doing so vocally on CNN. We'll show you some of those clips and more when we return.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys, a lot more news.
All right, let's talk about how progressives are fighting back. Nina Turner went on CNN to make a strong case in favor of passing the budget reconciliation bill, which of course would overwhelmingly improve Americans' lives materially, offering universal pre-K, paid family leave, 2 years of free community college. I mean, the list goes on and on, expanded Medicare. And what I love about Nina Turner is how she comes in strong and she does not let up. Here's a perfect example of that.
I am glad that Senator Sanders had the courage to smoke out Senator Manchin by writing that op-ed, forcing him to have this conversation. So conversation is always good, but it just can't go on forever. Because Brianna, the longer they are in talks, the less likelihood we're gonna have the strong package that is needed to elevate and to uplift the American people who need it the most. And this cannot be pushed down the road because we don't know what may happen in 2022. So we need to get this done right now.
And frankly, I think Manchin is more progressive than he gets credit for. And I think Bernie is more pragmatic. I love that these two guys are talking.
All right, Senator Turner,
Brianna,
for progressives,
Brianna,
sorry, go on.
The labels, I mean, I'm so sorry. Pragmatic, practical. People are literally losing their lives and their livelihoods while people play games.
I loved that final moment in that clip. How exactly can anyone claim that Joe Manchin of all people is progressive?
Yeah, if you watch the whole thing, Begala, of course, in that clip, Begala looks like he's, you know, giving a little bit of credit to Bernie for being practical, but he's giving Manchin credit for being progressive. I haven't seen it. I've never seen what he's talking about, but. Overall, in the longer clip, Begala, of course, sides with, we can't have perfection here get in the way. That's the talking point they use every single time when it's progressives asking for something for you guys. Now, when it was a $2 trillion tax cut for the rich, the Democrats pretended to be against it. But was there a big giant fight in the country and in politics and in media? And hey, we got a compromise here. You can't ask for the whole $2 trillion for everything for the rich. Yeah, all right, let's get started a trillion or half a trillion. No, there was no such fight. They said $2 trillion, they did $2 trillion. There wasn't even a peep out of anybody. It got steamrolled, right? But whenever we're asking for something for you guys, healthcare, climate change, et cetera, they're like, hey, you can't ask for that much.
We gotta be practical.
Yeah.
We gotta be practical. And isn't it so convenient that practical is always meant to serve the interests of corporate donors? That's what practical really means. So I love that Nina Turner immediately squashed those ridiculous labels, especially in regard to Joe Manchin. One more clip from her appearance on CNN, and then later we're gonna get to Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, other progressives who are just killing it in their cable news interviews, advocating for the passage of this bill. Let's watch Nina Turner.
And look, the overwhelming majority of West Virginians agree with this. West Virginia is one of the poorest states in the United States of America. And you have a senator who is set for the rest of his natural life. And so are his children and his children's children. And he want to negotiate away. Senator Manchin, what do you want to negotiate away? Is it child care? Is it the implosion of Mother Earth? Is it health care? What is it, Brianna? He is not saying what it is. So this is not about who's pragmatic and who's practical and who's progressive. This really is about, in this moment, whose side you are on. And let the American people remember this. $6 trillion was the original number. We are down to $3.5 trillion. How low are we going to go to sacrifice the poor, the working poor, and the barely middle class in the United States of America? Hell, the Senate just gave, I think, what, $10 billion more dollars to the military budget than what was asked for?
She's right. In the next decade, the United States is going to spend a minimum of $7.5 trillion on the defense budget. The media never frames it that way. The media only frames the budget reconciliation bill as a $3.5 trillion spending plan. But when it comes to defense, they'll find ways to frame it as if we're not spending a giant portion of our discretionary budget on wars.
Yeah, I'm gonna make one quick note about TYT here and what we're standing for. So Nina Turner is a host on TYT now. She's on Damage Report earlier today. She's gonna be on Indisputable. She's got Power Hour, that's just for our members. But normally when someone signs a contract with a company, it's exclusive and you're not allowed to go on other channels. We did not do that because we think Nina's voice is so important to the country that we want her on everywhere. So thank you to our members that allow us to do that so we can get our incredibly strong voice out to as many people as possible.
All right, so I want to move on to Cori Bush. Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman also had appearances on CNN. They gave their interviews together, and I thought that they absolutely did a great job, including Cori Bush in this moment, where she talks about how she got elected to Congress for a very specific purpose. Let's watch.
The expectation is we will give you crumbs and expect you to be happy. What we're saying is I didn't come to Congress to continue to give crumbs to my community. St. Louis continues to get crumbs and we keep being number one for homicide, number one or number two for homicides, number one for police murder, number one for the murder of children. We keep having those issues. We keep having issues with 10 black children being 10 times as likely to go to the hospital in emergency room for asthma than white children. How do we fix those things? You have to put the money there. And so I didn't come to Congress to sit back and accept those crumbs. Give my folks the meal.
I mean, is there really any other way to put it?
Yeah, no, I love it. That's just Democrats 2.0 right there. Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush, a lot of you guys helped to make sure that they won. And so we're trying to bring positive change in the world. And both of them did a fantastic job. You'll see more clips in a second. But now finally progressives are allowed on air, number one. Why? Because they have credibility. They won the races. You know, they're US Congress people now.
Because they have leverage.
Yeah.
And that's what they have.
Exactly. They have enough votes to block the bill. They have power. Then they're allowed on television. Back when we didn't have any power, progressives were persona non grata on television. They were not allowed on TV. Now that, you know, of course, Nina's here, but also former campaign co-chair of Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is super relevant in the Senate, so they need these voices on. So, and now when they're on, the television audience for the first time in their lives probably are hearing a progressive perspective. Yeah, wait, why did the voters have to get crumbs and the donors get to have the full meal?
Exactly, exactly. And look, what it does is it creates the same distrust in our institutions that's really hurting the country during this pandemic, right? People campaign, candidates campaign on very specific policy issues. They have specific platforms that call out to the needs of their own constituents. And then they get elected into the system that overwhelmingly prioritizes the interests of corporate donors over the constituents' needs. And progressives have been beaten down with this talking point of be practical, be practical, be practical. Well, isn't it much more practical to serve your constituents? That's the practical way to go about it. about it. But that's not what you're gonna hear in corporate media, which again, tries to beat down progressives, tries to beat them to submission. So they just go along with what corrupt corporate Democrats like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are demanding. Now, speaking of Joe Manchin, you're gonna love this clip because Jamal Bowman called out Manchin's real interests here. Let's watch.
Joe Manchin and others like him have a certain perspective that I think is incorrect. He thinks investing in a bottom-up economy is entitlement. He claims he's worried about inflation. But I think we need to have a conversation about the special interests that support Joe Manchin and many others.
Yes.
And we need to understand that when we invest this way, it's better for the GDP and the economy going forward, but it's also better than for our well-being. When you put money in people's pockets, they spend that money. It creates demand, which creates supply, which creates jobs.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. And by the way, listen, it's not just Manchin. I'm hearing all sorts of establishment politicians, both on the left and the right, arguing that the inflation is the main reason why we shouldn't pass most of the provisions in the budget reconciliation bill. They never talk about what is causing the inflation, right? So there are various factors, but two of the main factors, one of which I've talked about on the show quite a bit, the Federal Reserve pumping money into corporations, that's having a huge impact on inflation. But aside from that, think about what's happening with our supply chains right now. Truckers have quit in droves because they're sick of being overworked, they're sick of being abused. And so right now there aren't enough truckers to essentially make this supply chain whole. So if you go to the ports in Los Angeles or in Long Beach, you'll see these shipping containers that have been sitting at the ports for weeks and weeks and weeks. And the reason why they're not moving is because they don't have the truckers to get the products to the people who have ordered them or to the companies that ordered them for their customers or their clients, right? Now, this bill, the budget reconciliation bill, would create regulations that would ensure that people have paid time off, paid family leave, certain benefits that would make their lives a lot easier so they're not so burnt out and not as overwhelmed as they are now. It would overwhelmingly impact the economy in a positive way, but they don't want to get into the nitty-gritty about that. I'm talking about the corporate Democrats here.
Yeah, so I love that Bowman called out Manchin's special interests. And so, by the way, we told you Bush and Bowman would be the best of the lot, and here they are. They're fighting as hard as anyone in Congress. And so again, thank you for making that happen. Okay, now, if you wanna know how to get actual progress, one of the segments that we do on Power Hour with Nina Turner is what would Nina do? And in that segment last week, we kind of figured out what Biden could actually do together as we talked it through. He could threaten Manchin's donors. Now that would be real leverage. You gotta go to the bosses. Because Manchin's not actually the boss. Sinema's not actually the boss. The donors are, right? They're just they're the bodyguards for the donors. So if you go to their boss, you go over their head, and Biden says to fossil fuel companies or medical companies or whoever he needs to, drug companies, and says, guys, you're gonna lose all access to the White House, and we're gonna come for you in a real way. This is just, in my, it's not nickel and diming, that's not fair, because there's some real provisions in this bill, right? But this is not as heavy as they can go at all, right? Mm-hmm. It's a Biden bill. And if I was Biden, I'd say, look, you guys wanna play with fire, we can go for it, right? And as Nina said in that segment, not in the CNN one, but on the TYT one, she learned from a mentor back in the day that you gotta say, there's gonna be blood on the floor, a little bit of mine and a little bit of yours. But trust me that if we go down this road, you're gonna bleed, okay, politically, okay? And if you say that to the donors, if Biden says that to them, that's gonna have credibility, and then they're gonna go tell their errand boy, Manchin, hey, you better make a deal, son, okay? That's how you play hardball. Does Biden have the stomach for it? I would be very, very surprised.
All right, well, let's go to West Virginia, where energy bills have been skyrocketing, and it's because Joe Manchin is allowing that to happen. So, energy bills in the state of West Virginia, where Joe Manchin happens to be a senator, have been rising, the skyrocketing, astronomical energy bills. Why? Well, it's because of the fact that the country overall is moving away from energy sources or fossil fuels like coal and moving toward renewable energy or natural gas. And that has caused a pretty terrible situation for the people of West Virginia, the so-called ratepayers, meaning the people who have to pay their energy bill. Now, the residential electricity rates of Ohio-based American Electric Power's West Virginia subsidiaries have risen 122% over the last 13 years, from an average of $62.46 per month in 2008 to $138.57 per month in 2021. Okay, so what's going on? Why is their energy bill going up so rapidly? Well, there have been regulations that force coal plants, for instance, to make some upgrades, updates, for instance, that would lessen the amount of CO2 that's being outputted. Now, as America has largely transitioned away from coal-fired power, West Virginia has thrown its weight behind it. The state is the second largest coal producer in the country, and coal generates nearly 89% of its electricity compared to just 19% nationwide, a steep fall from 1990 when coal powered 52% of US electricity. So coal has actually become more expensive compared to other renewable energy sources or natural gas, for instance. And so the prices for coal have actually gone down. I'm sorry, the price for renewable energy has gone down. The price for coal has gone up, and that cost is transferred over to the people of West Virginia. So AEP's three coal-fired power plants in West Virginia are in need of $448 million worth of mandatory upgrades in order to remain federally compliant, causing electricity rates to increase by 3.3% starting in September of 2022. Now, these upgrades would allow the plants to stay open until 2040 rather than being shut down in 2028. Now, understand, it would actually be far cheaper for them to avoid doing those upgrades, just let those coal power plants just shut down, while taking federal government incentives to switch over to other forms of energy, like renewable energy. But people like Joe Manchin don't want it. Sean O'Leary, a senior researcher at nonprofit and clean energy think tank Ohio River Valley Institute, told CNN the utilities could save ratepayers $317 million by retiring the coal plants in 2028, pointing to AEP's own data showing the cost to keep the plants open until 2040. So, why don't they go in that direction? It's because there are local lawmakers in the state of West Virginia who want to keep the system going the way it is. And then of course you have people like Joe Manchin, who's literally personally invested in the coal industry. Last year alone, he made $500,000 off of EnerSystems, a company he founded that his son is now in control of. He made $500,000 off of that, $500,000 off of that last year alone.
Yeah, so TYT showed that he's made over $5 million from that company alone, at a minimum. Okay, that's the ones we could track publicly. So he's got at least 5 million reasons to want to block the sensible way to go, and one that would actually save taxpayers money. Now, he claims that he wants to save taxpayers money. He says that all the time, never when Republicans are in charge, but when Democrats get in charge and all of a sudden you want to help anybody, all of a sudden he's really worried about the spending. But in this case, well, you're spending more to keep a dying industry afloat, even though it has higher prices. Doesn't make sense in any way, shape, or form until you find out both your contributions, political contributions, and your personal profits both come from coal. So I don't know a person more biased in America than Joe Manchin on this. And guys, have you seen in mainstream media coverage about the $5 million he's made off of his coal company?
Nope.
You've never seen that, right? You've never seen that in mainstream media. Isn't that a weird thing that they never bring up? Something that has got to be affected. Guys, you know it in your personal life. If you made $5 million from something, you think it might affect you? Of course, you're human, it would affect you, right? And you ask mainstream media, they're like, no, politicians are so honorable that $5 million in profits would never affect them.
It's insane.
That's not a factor. They don't think it's a relevant factor. That is absolutely insane. Last thing about that particular portion of it, Manchin says in a completely different clip that I saw, oh, well, let the markets do their work. And he's partly referring to what Anna just explained to you, that the prices are going up for coal and they're going to go out of business anyway.
Let me give you his quote, actually, because okay. I have that quote. It's telling. He says, the transition is already happening. So I'm not going to sit back and let anyone accelerate whatever the market's changes are doing.
Now,
what? So hold on. The market is great when it's working to your advantage. But you reject the market or you try to slow down the direction the market's going in if it doesn't benefit you. That's exactly what he's saying there.
Well, he's saying let the market do whatever it's doing and don't let's not accelerate it. But wait a minute, the market's not just acting on its own. Coal has subsidies. How is that part of the free market? Well, okay, then if it's part of the free market, why don't we give it to the renewable energies? Well, that's the thing you're holding up. Wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Who cares about the market, by the way? The planet is being destroyed. Like, we're spending so much money on a yearly basis to respond to extreme weather events, whether it's floods, wildfires, insane hurricanes in areas where we didn't typically have hurricanes. I mean, you want to talk about fiscal responsibility? This is not fiscally responsible in any way, shape, or form. I don't care what direction the market's going in. Obviously, we're dealing with a real crisis here in regard to the climate emergency, and we have Joe Biden being treated as if he's some sort of honest actor who isn't motivated by his own financial interests.
You said Joe Biden.
I'm sorry, Joe Manchin. Although, I misspoke, but also.
But also.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, when Louisiana gets hit with a giant hurricane, the people of Louisiana in a very red state have to pick up the bill. So, and the federal government, and hence all of us, have to pick up the bill. This isn't about how much things cost. This is about who pays them. And so Chevron, ExxonMobil, et cetera, and Manchin's coal company, they don't want to pay the bill. They want to take the profits home and they want to stick the taxpayers with the bill. That's what this is about. And we show it to you with every number, right? We show it to you with statistics. Here, while we're going to give you another one here about the percentage of people in coal, like, oh my God, you think 97% of the people in West Virginia work in coal? Oh, because in mainstream media, you always hear about coal, West Virginia's coal, coal. It's Joe Manchin's an honest, honest person who cares about the employees in West Virginia who all work in coal. None of it is true. So we're going to prove it in a second. But you have to keep wondering why the rest of the media never tells you things that are obvious and an enormous factor. Why do they not tell you that? Why do they keep it hidden from you? It's weird.
So let's take a look at this graph, because the graph breaks down where the jobs are in West Virginia. Relatively few West Virginians work in mining. In fact, coal mining employed around 13,000 people in West Virginia as of 2019, about 3% of the state's workforce. Again, 3% of the state's workforce, and that's down from 120,000 in 1950. Many of those jobs have been lost to automation and the rise of cheaper sources of energy. Like I said, natural gas being one of them. Coal-fired power plants, by the way, meanwhile, directly employ little more than 2,000 people in the state of West Virginia. So all the talking points that you're either likely to hear from Joe Manchin or you've already heard from Joe Manchin in regard to how important coal is for workers in the state, it's all BS. Again, there's that massive conflict of interest when it comes to his own personal financial incentives. If he's invested in a company related to the coal industry and he's making $500,000 a year off of it, that's what's motivating him. He's not an honest actor. And this isn't just a problem with Joe Manchin. It's a problem with almost every member of Congress. Because remember, every member of Congress can invest in individual stocks. They can make trades based on undisclosed intel, information that we're not privy to as American citizens. This is stuff that happens day in and day out. Those conflicts of interest are there. They're right in front of our faces. And we're all having a discussion about these negotiations as if we're dealing with honest actors. They're not honest actors. The system is fundamentally broken. The incentives are in the wrong place.
And whenever anyone in mainstream media does good reporting, their own network then immediately ignores it, right? So this original story is from CNN. About the woman who's struggling paying her electric bills in West Virginia. They included the graph, etc. But I'll give you more numbers on it. I mean, look, back in the old days, there a lot of jobs in West Virginia were coal. Back in 1950, 120,000 jobs when they had a lot less people in West Virginia were coal jobs. That was the main driving force in West Virginia. But that was 70 years ago, right? So now, in terms of people working directly at the factory, it's only 2,000 people. In overall, in the natural resources and mining industry at large, that's where you have 13,000 people. That's it, 13,000 people. That's 3% of the workers in West Virginia. 3%. So now look, if CNN, every time they talk to Manchin, well, I think they just asked Bernie Sanders if he'd apologize to Manchin because he pointed out facts that are true. I mean, look at that insane frame. You read your own articles, right? If every time they talk to Manchin, they said, Senator Manchin, only 3% of the jobs in West Virginia are from coal, 97% is from other things. And this would actually reduce the amount of money that both the federal government pays and West Virginia pays. And it seems like you care more about the $5 million you just made from coal than you do the 3% of the workers of West Virginia. My God, that would change the entire dynamic. Just that one question, if you just asked it once, and then it would create a little storm, like, oh my God, a reporter asked a real question of someone in power. Oh, and then everybody else would ask the reporter to apologize to Manchin for pointing out facts. What is wrong with our media? Why won't they say things that are true? It's infuriating. And at the end of the day, the worst part of it is it affects you. They then do propaganda. They move that bill from 6 trillion to 3.5 trillion, now 2 or maybe 1.5 trillion or maybe not at all. Why? Because they never effectively called out Manchin for what he's actually doing.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk a little bit about Donald Trump and his reaction to Colin Powell passing away. We'll be right back.
All right, back on TYT, Jen Canana with you guys. And also Paul Redley, he just joined by hitting the join button below on YouTube. And I'm just gonna read one comment from our members. David Martinez wrote in, mainstream media covered Bernie Sanders' $1 million book sales, but reporting Joe Manchin's $1 million bribes would be uncivil. They do declare. Such a good point. Again, our audience delivers. I wish I'd have thought of that when we were doing the video. Yeah, how come that's fair game, but talking about Manchin's profits is not fair game? It's almost like they're tilted towards the corporate perspective. All right, Casper.
There's a reason why people like Donald Trump. And it's because he bluntly says things that everyone else in the establishment is unwilling to say or just completely covers up. Case in point, his reaction to Colin Powell passing away. Here's what he had to say in a statement that he released. Wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Okay, let's just stop right there. No, but like that's what everyone who actually pays attention to US foreign policy was thinking yesterday, right? Like everyone felt the need to maybe pad their critique with some pleasant commentary about him. But no, you look at his career, you look at what he did, you look at the fact that he lied on an international stage, knowingly lied in regard to Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. That alone is bad enough. But then you look at other things from his past, which I'll get into in just a second. And it's just like, yeah, let's stop pretending like he was a perfect guy, he was super moral. Let's be honest about what his career and his legacy entailed. But let me continue. Hope that happens to me someday, Trump says. Honestly, I doubt it, but nonetheless, he also says that Colin Powell was a classic rhino, Republican in name only, if even that. Always being the first to attack other Republicans, he made plenty of mistakes, but anyway, may he rest in peace. So he ended it pleasantly at least, right?
Well, not really, but anyway, may he rest in peace.
I know, I was kidding. But look, whether you like or dislike Donald Trump, and I will admit, I obviously dislike Donald Trump quite a bit, this is what appeals to people in regard to like his personality, like the way that he talks about things and he does it bluntly without tiptoeing around obvious facts.
Yeah, there's two different parts of it. One is that the elites are scandalized by plain talk, right? And they're scandalized by anyone who doesn't revere the professional class. And so Colin Powell was a shining example of the Washington professional class. And so it offends them personally if Colin Powell is ever insulted. John McCain was another example of that. Now they're both Republicans, both giant war hawks, and in Washington, beloved. Not beloved in Iraq, not beloved in Afghanistan or Syria or many other parts of the world, but in Washington, among the elites, they love Colin Powell. Now, I mean, the second half of it though.
Can I just give you a quick example? I mean, Maggie Haberman, a New York Times reporter, quote tweeted Trump's statement and she was incensed. Right, like, oh, his, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, oh, his mother, you know, never told him, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it, like that kind of thing. But no, are we gonna have a discussion about the former Secretary of State's legacy, right? Or are we just gonna pretend like he was a perfect person who never did anything wrong? He took part in war crimes that led to the massacre, the murder, the death of hundreds of thousands, if not 1 million civilians in Iraq. That's nuts.
Yeah, and so Maggie Haberman's saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Well, then you might not be a reporter. I mean, that's not what reporters are supposed to do. But that is the unofficial rule that she lets slip through a, oh, mother said BS. You're a reporter for the New York Times. What do you mean if you have nothing nice to say, you shouldn't report anything? That's generally been the rule for corporate politicians and corporate media. If you can't kiss their ass, don't write it. Don't write it. Don't let anybody know Manchin takes $5 million profit from coal. Shh. That's for TYT, they're radicals. They actually do news and facts. And in this case, Colin Powell, I mean, look, he also authorized torture, disaster, let alone what he did that was horrific in the Reagan administration. So, but on the other hand, Trump is not a bright guy. So you have to confess that. Like, you don't,
I know
it's
that.
Not how you write it.
And I know, Cenk, but like, do you understand how much that type of communication appeals to a huge portion of the country?
I know what's so frustrating, honestly, is we do plain talk, and you don't have to be dumb to do plain talk. You could actually have a smart conversation, but you could say it in a way that people can understand it. And by the way, I don't think you're that smart if you talk in a way that no one can understand. Then obviously you're not getting it. You're not understanding how to reach people, right? So I'm not against that at all. But there's this, again, this giant double standard by the media. If the right wing does plain talk, even in criticizing it, but they'll amplify it, and but Trump was always considered super legitimate. Remember in 2016,
oh, come on,
he got no,
this
he
is
got
where
over.
You lose me. This is where you lose me.
But Anna,
the media
no, you're totally
never
wrong.
Took him seriously, with the exception of right wing media.
No,
okay,
no,
give me an
no,
example.
No, hold on. There's a giant. They said they gave him over $1 billion in free coverage in the primaries alone. Hold on. If a progressive ran, if Nina Turner ran as an example, right? Let alone Bernie Sanders, who was the most accomplished progressive in history. And back in 2015, he got zero coverage from the press. Nearly zero.
Because they're afraid of him and what he represents, James.
That's my point.
But
that's my point.
They were afraid of Trump. They thought Trump was a clown, which is why they gave him so much free coverage.
But
they thought it was entertaining. They thought it was funny.
Even if they thought that you had the biggest progressive clown in the world and they could rail on him, etc., they would do that for 1 second. I've seen it happen. And then they say, shush, shush, never cover the progressives, never cover. Look, we just did a story earlier in this show where progressives were allowed on CNN and everyone's like, whoa, what the hell's going on, right? So right-wing lunatics can say anything they want and they get billions of dollars in free media coverage. Progressives can't break through. And so this is what leads to the uneven play field. That's why you, and in this case, in this story, that's why you almost never hear the downside of the bureaucrats in Washington who've killed hundreds of thousands of civilians. And by the way, you're not gonna hear that from the right wing or Donald Trump. He's like, oh, I don't like him. He told people to vote against me. I don't like him. Did he ever talk about, hey, the death squads in Central America that Colin Powell was helped to aid and abet?
No,
did he talk about the hundreds of thousands of dead civilians that Trump and the right wing don't care about at all? But that never makes it into the goddamn press because they're obsessed with the right wing, corporate. Sorry, go.
Okay, well, the New York Times did write about Colin Powell's role in covering up the My Lai massacre, and that was right after his death. So they do cover things like that. But again, look, I just want to go back.
They'll never mention it again.
Ugh.
Never. You go ahead, turn on cable news.
Right now.
Turn on cable news, see if you'll see one unkind word about Colin Powell or the My Lai massacre. Never. This is the same thing that we did earlier in the show. CNN shows you a poll where, not a poll, but a number, where in West Virginia, only 3% of people work in coal. Well, so it's all a fiction. Then they go on and ask Manchin about that, the other senators about that. No, never, 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 never.
You're right about that, but you're conflating a bunch of different things into like one talking point. Again, I just want to go back to Trump versus Bernie. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand that the message, the fundamental message coming from progressives like Bernie Sanders threatens their profits, threatens their profit motive? They don't want to popularize those ideas and those proposals. Whereas with Trump, I mean, TV executives were pretty brazen about it. They were pretty transparent about it. Trump brought in the ratings and they genuinely didn't think Trump had any possibility of winning. So they're like, win-win. We've got a sideshow, we've got a clown. Why don't we give this clown endless coverage? It helps our ratings. There's no chance he's gonna win. They weren't threatened by Trump. That was the issue. They didn't take him seriously.
Anna, we're agreeing. We're getting upset over nothing because that's exactly what I'm saying. Except the only thing I'm layer on top of that, of course they're not, that's my whole point, is that they're not covering progressives because it threatens their profits. And they're giant multi-billion dollar corporations. The only thing I'm layering on top of that is, we could get the biggest celebrity you've ever seen. And if they were a true progressive, all of a sudden, after the initial blast, the media would cover them less and less. So
yeah, because their incentives are to cover them less and less. Progressives are a threat to their profit motive.
Then we're agreeing 100%.
Okay.
And that's why the mainstream media sucks.
Well, it's run like a private business is supposed to be run. This is how private businesses are run. This is how it works.
They're actually a public company.
Yeah, they're publicly traded, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. Do they go out and tell their audience, by the way, oh, by the way, we're a public corporation listed on the stock market. We have fiduciary responsibility to maximize profit. So from now on, you'll only hear right-wing corporate talking points, and we will cover up all progressives and make sure they do not get it on air, because then you might actually believe them. In fact, you already do believe them. We cover that up too. We have poll after poll showing that 2/3 of Americans agree with progressives, but we'll never ever air them because we're a for-profit company and we're not manufacturing news, we're manufacturing consent. If they gave that disclaimer every time they went on television, I'm good with it. Then hey, truth in advertising, we're all good to go, right? But they never say that. Instead, they go, oh, we are objective journalists. I do declare, we are objective. Corporations are awesome. The status quo is the best. And progressives, they're radicals. And they should be, outsiders have no credibility. They should not be allowed. So screw them and the horse that they, and the corporate horse that they rode in on.
All right, that does it for hour one. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.